the end of Parshas Shlach, the Torah has for the first time the mitzvah of tzitzis, and then it's repeated later in Chumash Devarim. The mitzvah of tzitzis only applies to a four-corner garment. Gedilim tasal chal arba kamfas ksus chahira doesn't say, but that's what it says in the other parashah in Chumash Devarim. Only four-cornered garment. What if you have a garment that has five corners? So that's a machlokes hatanaim. Are you obligated to put on four out of the five corners? You're not obligated at all. We pask, and one is obligated to put on four out of the five corners. What kind of a beged? What has a chaloshem beged? So the tanaim have a machlokes in Perek HaTcheles, whether the beged homa batur is davket semer or pishtim. And a beged, a silk beged, or a cotton beged, or any other material, you would only be chayv in the rabbanon. Oh no, beged homa batur over here is any beged would be included. That's a machlokes hatanaim, whether shab begodim, shab minim, are deraisa de rabbanon, halacha lamaisa, it's a machlokes rishonim, and the mechab and the ramor presented two opinions, whether it's deraisa de rabbanon. Moshe Feinstein writes in his tshuva that's why many have the practice. That they wear dafke woolen arba kamfis, a woolen talis. What's wrong with the silk talis? Why do people choose to wear woolen talis? A woolen talis for sure is chayv min hatorah. So you want to go out of your way to fulfill a mitzvah deraisa. Strictly speaking, the obligation to wear tzitzis only applies. It's a conditional mitzvah. If you had the Rambam calls it a mitzvah soshus, it's not exactly. We wouldn't call it a mitzvah soshus. It's a conditional mitzvah. If you happen to wear a four-corner garment, then you're chayv in tzitzis. If you don't wear a four-corner garment, not chayv to buy one in order to be chayv in tzitzis, like the mitzvah of mezuzah, the mitzvah of makah, the mitzvah of pinyan haben. If your first baby is a girl, so you'd have no mitzvah of pinyan haben. If you sleep in the park, a bum who sleeps in the park doesn't have the mitzvah of mezuzah. If your house doesn't have a rooftop that people use, people don't use the roof, then there's no mitzvah of makah. So it's a conditional mitzvah. The Rambam in Hilchas Brachas, when he says that you have to recite a Birchas HaMitzvah before performing any mitzvah, he says whether mitzvah sorshus or mitzvah schoibus, he calls all of these mitzvah sorshus. We don't use that expression. We use the expression mitzvah sorshus like the Vilna Gaon says, you're not obligated to eat matzah all 7 days of Pesach, you're only obligated the first night by the Seder, but the rest of the Pesach, it's a rishus, means a rishus. If you'll eat matzah, you'll have a kiyum mitzvah. Mitzvah kiyumis, but not a mitzvah chiyumis. The Rambam uses the expression mitzvah soshus on a mitzvah that's obligatory, but only if certain conditions are met. So here, strictly speaking, if you're not wearing a four-corner garment, you're not mechuyav to have tzitzis. The Gemara tells that there was one Amora Rav Kitena, and the normal practice used to be in the days of the Amoraim, the Goyim wore four-corner garments. So this Rav Kitena used to go out of his way not to wear a four-corner garment, so he never became a chuyav tzitzis, he never wore tzitzis. So the Malach once came and he said, you're going to be punished for not wearing tzitzis. So he says, Anshisu ha'esei, why? They punish in heaven? They send angels to punish people for not putting on a four-corner garment. You're not chuyav to wear a four-corner garment. So he says, the Malach answers, Be'idna rischa, if they're angry in heaven about something else that people are doing wrong in the generation, then they're going to punish for this as well. Punish for what? Because it went out of his way, the normal practice was the normal clothing that they sold in the store had four corners. He went out of his way not to wear a four-corner garment, not to be mechayiv himself in tzitzis. So that's what the Malach told them. Yeah, v'id nerischa, when they're angry in heaven because the generation is sinning, anshina na'asi, we even punish people for this. Bizman hazeh, you go to the store, no one sells any four-corner garments. Are we mechayiv to go out of our way to get four-corner garments? So that's what Tosfos develops this idea. The Gemara says in the end of the first perek in Soita, the last daf in the first perek in Soita, Why did Moshe Rabbeinu desire so much to enter Eretz Yisrael? The Medrash says that he offered hundreds and hundreds of tefillos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should let him enter Eretz Yisrael. What did he want to enjoy himself in Eretz Yisrael? So that's worth davening so many prayers. No, it was no. So what's the big deal? Everybody has to die, so he won't go to Eretz Yisrael. So what's the big deal? And Gemara says, no, there are certain mitzvahs at Leizbarts which he simply cannot fulfill in Chutz Lortz. Moshe Rabbeinu was such a holy tzaddik, he desired to put himself in a situation where he'd be obligated to observe the agricultural mitzvahs, the mitzvahs at Leizbarts. So Tosfos points out, you see from that Gemara, that the tzaddikim go out of their way to put themselves in a situation where they'll be obligated to observe mitzvahs, even though the way they are now, they're not mechuyavs. That's why today, The practice should be that observant Jews, Orthodox Jews, should go out of their way, even on the store, they don't sell such clothing with four-corner garments. The Nochum don't wear such clothes. We should go out of our way, Dafke, to make four-corner garments in order to obligate ourselves to put on tzitzis, so we'll gain an additional mitzvah. And other Balei HaTosfos, the Shita Mekubetzes quotes this in Menachos and Perakat Chelos, other Balei HaTosfos say, what are you talking about? When you'll be on the Madrega, Moshe Rabbeinu, then you'll wear, then you'll go out of your way to wear tzitzis. Who do you think you are? This is Mamish Yuhara, not Mechziger, Yuhara. He talks Lashon Hara, and he cheats on income tax, and he cheats over here, and he does a little Avera over here, and a little Avera over there. All of a sudden, it's like Moshe Rabbeinu is running to obligate himself to do additional mitzvahs. When he'll keep everything that he's obligated to observe, then we'll discuss whether it makes sense for him to adopt this Midas Chasidus to go buy a garment in order to be mechuyev in additional mitzvahs. Some Sephardic communities have such a practice. They don't permit the balabatim to wear abakamfis. They don't permit the balabatim to wear a talis when they daven. Only the rabbi. The rabbi is dugmas Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay. But the balabatim, who do they think they are? It's a yuhara that they should wear tzitzis. The common practice by us is, like Tesis says, that we do wear tzitzis. The way the Chumash describes it, you have to have tcheles and you have to have lovon. The Tanoim have a machloikis where the tcheles makevis as a lovon and tcheles any makevis as a lovon. Machloikis have shown him how to paskin. The Baal Hamor, in his commentary on the bottom of the riff in Perek B'mei Madlikin, the Gemara there says in B'mei Madlikin that how did the Tanoim prepare for Shabbos? B'mei Madlikin, they would bench licht, and then they would get dressed, they would bathe, lekovet Shabbos, they would dress up big day Shabbos, they would sit to put on a talis, and they would sit and wait for Shabbos to arrive. That's our practice of reciting Kabbalah Shabbos. The Pirkei Tilim is a takeoff on that Gemara that you should do hachonis in advance of Shabbos. That's a mitzvah in HaTorah. The reciting of the psukim of Kabbalah Shabbos was instituted by the Mekubalim in Eretz Yisrael in the 1500s. So that's not ben HaTorah. But the idea that a person should prepare in advance a yoshev mitzapa miyachal bo haShabbos, he should wait eagerly for the arrival of the Shabbos. So the Rambam describes that's the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos. There's kibud nezoinig. So the Vilna Gaon claims the kibud means the preparations one makes in advance. And oinig is the enjoyment on Shabbos, that he enjoys the fact that the house is clean and is wearing clean clothing and so on. So part of Kvod Shabbos is to prepare in advance and put on special Big Day Shabbos. So the Gemara says this was the practice of Rabbi Loi, who would dress up Big Day Shabbos and wear a talis mitzuyetzes, and he would sit and wait for the arrival of the Shabbos. That was his Kvod Shabbos. So the Baal HaMor comments on that Gemara. The Gemara talks about tzitzis there, so he thinks that we should paskin like Rebbe, Tcheles Makevis Salovan. And therefore, even with the Rabbanim, there's no mitzvah tzitzis bizman hazeh. That's how the Ramban writes. Kibal nu eduso, we heard, the Ramban lived after the Rabbi Mizrachi Alev. So Ramban writes, Kibal nu eduso, we heard in the name of the Baal HaMor that he never wore tzitzis all of his lifetime, because he holds that tcheles makevis es halom. Most of the Rishonim don't accept the opinion of the Baal HaMor. Most assume yochad v'rab mahalochi kirabim, paskin like the Chachamim de Rebbe. When he disagrees with a rabbi, so we don't pass like rabbi. So the general accepted opinion is that tchelis is not makevis as a lov, and a lovin is not makevis at tchelis. Let's say you'll have all the chutim will be tchelis. So you don't have any lovin. So we pass also tchelis any makevis as a lovin, lovin any makevis at tchelis. The Rambam usually adopted a principle. The Rambam, in listing off and trying to calculate which are the 613 mitzvahs, the Rambam usually has a klal. Whenever different things are ma'akim zeze, like dalad minim shebelula ma'akim zeze, so then he says that it only counts as one mitzvah, as a mitzvah little dalad minim. But since tefillin shal yad is not ma'akim shal rosh, tefillin shal rosh is not ma'akim shal yad, that's a mishnah. So this leads the Rambam to believe that these should be considered, they should be counted as two distinct mitzvahs. Here, the Rambam paskens like rov harishayim, like the chachamim de Rebbe, that tcheles eni makevis es halov and lovin eni makevis at tcheles. And since then amakim zezeh, he should have perhaps said that there are two distinct mitzvahs, like shal yad and shal rosh. He writes not so. It's one mitzvah. The mitzvah b'shleimus is to have tcheles with lovin. If you have one without the other, it's a mitzvah shalov b'shleimus. So after the Rambam passed away, there's a whole correspondence between the Dayan in Baghdad, Rabbi Daniel HaBavlin, the son of the Rambam, Rabbi Avram ben Arambam, on different aspects of the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Usually correspondence was on issues in Sefer HaMitzvahs, and once in a while something in the Mishneh Torah. So So this is both in Sefer HaMitzvahs and in Mishneh Torah, that the Rambam counts Tchelis and Lavan as one mitzvah. So that was the kasha of the Dayan, Rav Daniel HaBavli from Baghdad. Why did the Rambam count it as one mitzvah? According to his kalam, whenever they're not makdim zezeh, that should be an indication that they're two distinct mitzvahs, so you should have counted as two mitzvahs. So Rabbeinu Avraham ben Rambam says, no, you have to use your svari, you have to use your brains. Tchelis and Lavan, his father thinks that it's one mitzvah. The mitzvah Bishlei Musa is when you have Tchelis with Lavan. Let's say by Chalitza. So we pass on the Rekika is not Miyakim and the Kriyas HaPsukim is not Miyakim. There's one opinion in the three opinions in Tanoim. One Tana is of the opinion, all three are Miyakim Zezeh. The woman is not permitted to remarry unless she has Chalitza Sasandal with the Rekika with the Kriyas HaPsukim. So according to that Tana, since all three are Miyakim Zezeh, we understand why he counted as one mitzvah. Then there's another opinion, a middle opinion in the Tanoim, that the Chalitza Sandal with the Rekika are Miyakim, Maisim. And the Kriyas HaPsukim is not Miyakim, because it says, Kochi Yosa Lo'ish, Koch is Mashma Yikuvo, it's Ma'akim, and it says, Kochi Yosa, only the Maisim are Miyakim. So the Kriyas HaPsukim is not a Maisa, that's Dibur. And the two Maisim are Miyakim, the Maisa Chalitza Sasandal, the Maisa Rikika are Miyakim. And we don't accept that, we pass on like the most lenient opinion, that the only thing that's Ma'akim is the Chalitza Sasandal, and the Kriyas HaPsukim and the Rikika is not Miyakim. So the Rambam only counts it as one mitzvah. Why doesn't it count it as three different mitzvahs? Nothing is mark of anything else. This is one mitzvah. Not, the answer is no, it's one mitzvah of chalitza. The mitzvah b'shlei musas chalitza with the rikika, with the kriyas apsukim. If you do shalom b'shlei musas, you have an incomplete mitzvah. Like the dalet zrikas on the mizbech by korban chata. So there's a machlokes, b'shamay b'sil, how many zrikas on Yaakov? The name of the perek in Zvachim is perek b'shamay. Perek immediately preceding Ezel Mekoyim is Perek B'Shamay. So B'Shamay hold that two are Miyakev. And we pass like this, only one Zrika is Miyakev. So the Rambam only counts it as one mitzvah. Either not Miyakvim Zezeh. No, it's one mitzvah. The mitzvah B'Shlei Musa is to be Zorek the Dam on all four corners of the Mizbech. If you do Shalom B'Shlei Musa, so you get a half a mitzvah. It's not that you fulfilled this mitzvah, you didn't fulfill that mitzvah. So here also, Rabbi Avraham ben Rambam answers that the Rambam assumes that it's one mitzvah, the trellis with the lavan, and the mitzvah b'shlei musa is if you have everything. If you have only a part without the other, so it's a mitzvah shalom b'shlei musa.
If you hold that it's an isra, say, also come to some rishonim wearing the four corners without putting on, so it's an isra. So what was that gemara with the malach?
He wasn't wearing an arba kamfis at all. Rav Katena was not wearing an arba kamfis at all. He was wearing clothing that had no corners at all. If you wear a four-corner garment and you don't have tzitzis, so then not only are you mevatel a mitzvah, some rishonim hold that you're over an iser essay as well. But if you don't wear a four-corner garment, nish mechuyiv.
If you're wearing a four-corner garment, it becomes a chiyuv to put.
Absolutely. Absolutely, there's a chiyuv to put on the tzitzis. If you wear the four-corner garment without putting on tzitzis. So most of the Rishonim, Tosfos and Yavam, is Daf Tzadik has a hoichocha from the Gemara. Most of the Rishonim hold that it's only a mevatel mitzvah. You're mechuyav to perform a mitzvah, you're mevatel mitzvah. Some Rishonim hold that it's an iser esrei in addition. Not only are you not mekayem a mitzvah, you're over an avera too. But that's only if you're wearing the four kodesh. If you don't wear it all, nisht is nisht. If you're not wearing it, so you're not mechuyav. The Rambam calls it mitzvah sarishus because if you're not wearing a four kodesh garment, you're not mechuyav. Right. The Gemara has a machlekes in Menachos. Is it chayvas mana or chayvas gavra? What if I buy an arba kamfis, I buy a talis and it sits in the drawer? Klei kufsa. Kufsa is the drawer. Klei kufsa da chayov mit tzitzis anat. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion, not chayov. You're only mechuyiv to put on tzitzis if and when you're wearing the beged. If you don't wear the beged, you're not mechuyiv. Then the Gemara says, and even according to the opinion that if you possess a beged that's arba kamfis, you are mechuyiv to put on tzitzis already. So the Gemara says that's only if it's a beged arba kamfis that's miyuchad for a live person to wear. What if I bought in advance, I'm preparing, I bought in advance tachrichim that have four corners. And you hold that if I have a talis in the drawer, I want to put on the talis by the chasana, by the bar mitzvah, whatever. We're having some special by my 50th wedding anniversary. I'm going to start wearing that special brand new talis. I don't want to wear it now. So one opinion in Gemara, you're mechuyev to put on tzitzis the minute you buy it. We don't pass them like that. One holds you're mechuyev. So what if I buy tachrichim, which have four corners, I plan to wear it. Lachamev, yes, m'shonim. When they bury me, I plan to wear it. Gemara says not mechuyevin tzitzis. A beged that's oimed lelevishas chai is called a beged. A beged that's oimed lelevishas mesim is not called a beged. So you're not. If you buy tachrichim that have four corners, even according to the view that it's a chayvas mana, that like kipsa chayuaf mitzitzis, then you're not mechuyev. But then the Gemara says hahu gav hahu idne hahu shaita. When you bury him though with the tachrichim with the four corners, then the Gemara says vade ramin alei. Then you do have to put in tzitzis. Why? Because if you're going to bury a person with a four-corner garment, not put on tzitzis, that's a violation of the pasuk loyd larosh cheruf hayseyu. He's demonstrating that because he's dead, he's potam in on tzitzis, potam in on mitzvahs. So that's not right. So that's what it says in the Bavli. When you bury a person in a four-corner garment, you must put on tzitzis, even though mesim are potam in on mitzvahs. No, otherwise you're making fun of him. You're demonstrating that Nebuch, the poor guy, is potam in on mitzvahs. Our practice is bedavka not so. We have the meaning to bury people with a talus, and dafka we pasul at tzitzis. So where does that come from? So that's what Tosis talks about. Where does that come from? So that comes from a masecha smochas. So machlokes hatanaim a masecha smochas. Whether it's improper, but dafka improper to bury a person with a talus mitzuyetzis, you're not allowed to. And if you have a talus mitzuyetzis, you have to remove the tzitzis. Oh no, there's nothing wrong. So for some reason or another, the minhag developed that we don't know exactly why. Minhag developed to follow the Maseches Mochas as opposed to what it says in the Gemara. And different, it wasn't different generation, it was the same generation. The Vilna Goen wanted not to observe that minhag. So he told some of his Talmidim that when he dies, when they bury him, they should bury him with the talus and they should not pasul at tzitzis. And the same thing, there was another tzaddik in Vilna. Could be he lived the same time as the Vilna Gaon. One who wrote Yisod B'Shorash Avoda, Rabbi Alexander Ziskin. So he also left instructions. They should bury him with his talus. They shouldn't passel the tzitzit. So they say that when the Vilna Gaon died, that Talmud who had the instructions was from the Chevra. He was going to see to it. And then in the middle of the Tara, he had to go to the bathroom. And when he came back, they had already passel the tzitzit. It was too late. And then by the Yisod B'Shorash Avoda, they buried him. They were going to bury him with his talus without passeling the tzitzis. And they didn't bury in coffins. They used to wrap up the body in the tzitzis and lower it like this. As they were lowering the body into the grave, so the chutei tzitzis got torn on one of the stones on the side of the grave. So they left it like that. They took it as a siman hashamayim that we shouldn't start up with the minig. But the minig is against the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Hu shaita, when you bury the person, vadei raminela, you do have to put in the tzitzis." What color is a tchelis supposed to be? So the Gemara says it's supposed to be tchelis doim el hayam, v'yam doim el rekiya. The rekiya is blue. What color blue? The sky at night, at midnight, is dark blue. It looks like black. The sky in the daytime is light blue. So that's a machlokes Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi on Chumash and Parshas Shlach writes this color of the sky at midnight. Because tchelis is miloshin tichlo, death. Miloshin Tichla was supposed to remember the fact that Makas Becharis occurred at midnight. So the tzitzis should be representing, the tchelis represents Midas Adin, and it should represent the fact that Makas Becharis occurred at midnight. The Rambam writes that tchelis is Damal Rakia in the afternoon, a light blue. So it's quite a difference. Quite a difference. According to the, in Kabbalah Svarim, Rav Soloveitchik once gave a Yortzeit Rosh on this. He used to give on his father's Yortzeit, he used to give a big shir in Halacha for 2 hours. Then he used to follow with 2 hours of a long drasha of Hashkofa. So one year he spoke about tzitzis. He always spoke about tzitzis and tefillin and kriyashma and kiddush and abdullah and benching. Always arachaim. One year he spoke on oisis niknas b'mesira as opposed to oisis niknas b'ksiva mesira. And then the people, the balabatim, couldn't follow. So the next year he went back to arachaim. He said last year was an experiment and it failed. And he's going back to arachaim dikat topics. He wanted the people to understand. By some rabbanim, the highest level of a shir is when everybody gets lost after 5 minutes. But Rabbi Soloveitchik, the highest level of the shir is that everybody followed for 4 hours. He would talk, and everybody would sit glued to their seats and pay attention and follow the whole calculation. He made everything easy. So in one year, he spoke about tzitzit. So he spoke about this from based on Kabbalah sources, whether the tchelis is supposed to represent midas hadin or midas hachesed. According to Rashi, it's supposed to be the color of the sky at midnight, supposed to represent Midas Adin, Makas Becheres, Tichlo, Miloshin Tichlo, death, as opposed, according to the Rambam, the color of the sky in the daytime, that's when everything is bright and cheerful and everybody's happy, that's supposed to represent Midas HaChesed. One, a chemist who works with the federal government, told me that his job for the government is to test all the different dyes in clothing to make sure that they're not poisonous. Because sometimes children, sometimes adults will suck on their sleeves. So if the thing has a, if the dye has a poison in it, that's a problem. So he, in addition to checking all the other things that he's obligated to check for the government, so he tested the new trailers that they sell in Eretz Yisrael, and he said that it's poisonous. So he wanted to know, are there any sources in the Talmud and the Midrashim that touch on this topic, whether the trailers is poisonous? So the only source I could think of was this Rashi. Rashi quotes from Moshe Adarshan that trailers had been lashon tichla, death, supposed to represent makas b'cheres. So maybe it's supposed to be poisonous. I don't know. Also loigler rush.
So that would seem to indicate that you wouldn't bury the mason with the...
That's what Tosis asks, yeah. Why is it a loigler rush? If they're also wrapped in tzitzis, so they have the same tzitzis. Tosis says no, because they're in a mitzvah v'yosa. We're mitzvah v'yosa, that's also loigler rush. That's what Tosis answers. But the simple reading of the Gemara implies that the Mason are buried without tzitzis. We have tzitzis, they don't have tzitzis. Maybe that Gemara contradicts the other Gemara. Okay, that was Tosis Kash. Yeah. Where are you supposed to get this trailers from? So the Gemara says, there are two sources. You can get it from Kloilon. It'll be exactly the same color as trailers. Or you can get it from the Chalozin. The Gemara says, the Halacha says it must come from the Chalozin. And there's no way to tell the difference. After they dye the wool, there's no test in the world. There's no chemical test that can determine whether this color blue came from the indigo. That's what the Sefer HaOruch. Oruch is a dictionary. In the days of Rashi, Rav Nosson Mirami wrote a dictionary of Talmudic Aramaic. So the Oruch writes Kloilon. The Gemara says the other source that's not acceptable for the Trelis is Kloilon. So he writes indigo balaz. Indigo is a vegetable. And it brings about the same blue color as the Chalozin dye brings about. The Gemara said there's no way to tell whether the dye is authentic from a Chalozin or it's from the Kloilon, from the indigo. So that's how we know what color it's supposed to be, because indigo is blue. If you want indigo, you can make a dark blue, you can make a light blue. It depends whether you dilute it with a lot of water or you hardly dilute it at all. It's the exact same color. If you dilute it, it'll be light blue, like the color of the sky in the data. If you don't dilute it, you make a dark blue. And the same thing by the Chalozin, the dye that comes from the Chalozin. It can be dark blue, it can be light blue. If according to the Rama, it should be dark blue. According to Rashi, it'll be light blue. So the Gemara says that the trelis for the tzitzit has to be dafka from Chalozin. You cannot use the Kloilon. That's the question. What about the trelis for the big day kahuna? The big dekun also have to have trelis. Does that have to also come from Chalozin as opposed to Kloilon? Or maybe by big dekun it doesn't make a difference. So that's a chiddush that Tiferes Yisrael HaMishnayis has. In the beginning of Seder Moed, he has the long Kalkelos HaShabbos, which the Mishnah Brura quotes, a lot of Poskim quote, where he lists off all the 39 Malachas and he collects all the Gemaras and Shas and Poskim, everything about each Malacha in order. And then he has a whole country on Amir Eliyakim and a whole country on Muktzeh. So there he has a whole kuntras on Big Day Kuhuna. So in his kuntras on the Big Day Kuhuna, he has a shtikl Torah, a chiddush on a Rambam, that the Rambam only writes that trelis has to be from the source of the chalozin fish as opposed to klei. He only writes in the Hilchas Tzitzis. When it comes to Hilchas Klei HaMikdash, when he talks about the Big Day Kuhuna, he never says that the trelis has to be dafka from the chalozin. So he wants to be mechadish that when build the Beis HaMikdash, he can make the trelis with Big Dekuna even from Kloilon. There's no problem. And most of the poskim disagree. They say, no, the Rambam already wrote in Hilchas Tzitzis. Hilchas Tzitzis comes first. Hilchas Klei HaMikdash comes later. Once he already told you where the trelis has to come from, so this is the same trelis as over there. So why should you make such a distinction? In the late 1800s, there was a great Hasidish Rebbe, the Radzina Rebbe, who's famous for his trelis and he's famous for his Sefer Sidrei Taras. He composed the Talmud Bavli on Mishnayis Taras. He collected all the Gemaras and Shas that applied to Mishnayis and Taras, and he put the Mishnayis and he put the Gemaras. He arranged the Gemaras. Then he wrote his commentary on the side. So he printed it, it looks like a Gemara. It can fool you into believing that it's a Gemara. So some Gedolim thought that that's not right. There is no such Masechta. So they insisted in the second edition, when he reprinted the second printing, it should be right on top, Sidrei Tara. said Reitar, that you know it's not Masechus Tar, it's not from the Talmud Bavli, that it's the whole thing is put together by him. So he was famous. He was hoping that the Beis Hamikdash should be rebuilt during his lifetime, and he felt that we all have an obligation to do our share to prepare for the building of the Beis Hamikdash, to make it possible to bring korbanos. So one of the things he needed is trelis for the big dekuna. Bizman she'ein big dekuna alei, men kuna osam alei. But if a kohen doesn't wear the big dekuna, or he doesn't wear the proper big dekuna, so then you can't be makor of korbanos. So he wanted to do his share to try to discover which is the chalazon. So the chalazon is supposed to come from a dye of some kind of a fish. So he traveled specially, he lived in Poland, Radzin was in Poland, he traveled from Poland to Italy because he heard that there's a big aquarium there, and he's going to look through, he's going to research all the various fish to try to ascertain which fish it could possibly be. So he came up with the Einfall after researching the whole thing, that is the squid fish, because the squid fish shoots out the black dye. He decided that's it. So he took the black dye and he made a vat of the dye, and the din is that the trelis has to be a certain color, has to be a certain material. The string that is trelis has to be tzemer. You cannot use any other, even though the other chutim of tzitzis don't necessarily have to be tzemer, but whatever chut is trelis has to be dafka from tzemer. So he took wool and he was trying to dye it with this dye from the squid fish, and every time he had it absorb the dye and he let it dry up, then he would wash it out and the whole color would come out. And the Gemara says that trelis is indelible, that once you dye the thing, once you dye the wool, it can't come out. So his whole theory was upgefrekt. You see that it's not trelis. So he put an advertisement in the Italian newspaper that he needs a chemist to do some work for him, and he's prepared to pay money. So for money, someone volunteered, a goy volunteered. So the rabbi explained to the guy what his problem is, that he has this dye, and according to the Jewish religion, he has to dye the wool, this color, and it keeps on washing out. And it has to be that color. So he said, Rabbi, no problem. So he came and he brought him a chemical. He gave him Prussian blue. He gave him a chemical that makes it blue. So Lemaisa, he didn't give him a chemical that causes, there are chemicals that cause this dye to be absorbed into the garment. He didn't give him a chemical. He fooled him. The chemical that he gave him gave this color blue, but the dye from the squid fish all went out. But the Rebbe didn't realize that. So that's what he made a factory in Radzin, and they manufactured the trelis, and they were selling it all over Europe. And tens of thousands of Hasidim before the Second World War were wearing the Radzina Rebbe's trelis. Before the Second World War, Rabbi Herzog was a rabbi in Ireland, and he was going to university. He got a degree, and his doctoral dissertation was on trelis. So he was sending letters all over the world to different people to try to ascertain what the story is with the trelis. So he corresponded with the one who ran the factory in Radzin, and then he got some of the Radzina trelis, and then he did a chemical test on it, and according to the chemical test, it came out that there was nothing menachai. The dye, the blue dye in the strings of the trelis, didn't come from a living, from an animal at all. Everything was only the Prussian blue. So he put two and two together. That's what he wrote in his doctoral dissertation. That the Goyish chem, the Italian chemist, fooled the Rebbe, that he gave him Prussian blue. And that's what gives the color. And all of the color from the animal, from the fish that he thought was the halazon, was washed out and gone. After the Second World War was over, so they realized the whole factory was destroyed. It was bombed by the Nazis, and all the people used to manufacture the trelis were all killed by the Nazis. There's nobody alive who knew the way the trelis, the Radzina Rebbe, had died way before, and before the Nazis killed everybody, many, many decades before. And there was nobody alive who knew what the secret was. And Eretz Yisrael, the Radzina Chassidim, wanted to build again a trelis factory to continue their tradition. So there's nobody alive who remembered the story, how they did it, except for Rabbi Herzog. Rabbi Herzog told them what the practice was in Radzin, that they took the dye from the squid fish and they used this Prussian blue. But he said the whole thing is a mistake, that the Goyish chemist fooled the Rebbe. So they weren't interested in what he said. So Palgin and Dibur. So they didn't accept what Rabbi Herzog said, that he fooled the Rebbe. They just accepted what he testified, how they made the trelis in Europe. So that's the way they continue to make it now in Eretz Yisrael. And that was Rabbi Herzog's breakthrough. He said that the word chalazon in Talmudic Hebrew means a snail. It means a shell animal. It doesn't mean a fish that swims around like what we call a fish. Rashi always calls it a dag, So he said the word Rashi apparently uses the Ramamath also calls it a duck. So he says apparently they use the word duck for any sea animal, but it's not what we would call a fish. It's a shelled animal. Dafke, a shelled animal. So he researched it, and they have in museums. Different museums in the world, they have, they'll tell you what dye did they use in the Middle Ages, what source of dye did they use in the Middle Ages in the Mediterranean area to make this color blue. So there was only one source. This is the source that Rabbi Herzog recommended. But then what happened was Rabbi Herzog has his whole doctoral dissertation on this. So for pages and pages he identifies which snail they should use. And then he didn't experiment. He corresponded with someone in Paris who was in charge of some museum, and they wrote him back that if you put that dye into wool and you wash the wool, so the whole dye will go out. So then, if that's the case, so then it's not the bona fide trellis, because the Gemara says that trellis is indelible. So he backed out because of that correspondence that he had with the curator of the museum in Paris, and then he shifted on to a different a different snail. The last five pages of his book, he thinks that it's a different snail. The other snail is not blue. It's not the color of the sky, not at midnight, not in the afternoon. It's purple. And purple is the talashani. We usually say talashani is purple. So how can it be that Chelis came up with the suggestion that both from the same snail, and sometimes it's called talashani, and sometimes it's called Chelis, Ashverevor. So the truth of the matter is, so there's a fellow in Eretz Yisrael who sells Rabbi Herzog's Chelis. That's taka purple. That's purple. It's not the color of the sky. That's not against the Gemara. The Gemara says, Chelis dami l'rakia. Chelis dami l'rakia. Either the color of the sky at midnight or the color of the sky in the afternoon. But it can't be purple. The sky is not purple. So there's a fellow, Professor Ziedemann in Eretz Yisrael. He has an institute where they sell real Rabbi Herzog Chelis. And the popular Chelis that they sell now is what Rabbi Herzog wrote in the middle of the book that he backed out in the last five pages. But he only backed out because of misinformation that the curator of the museum in Paris sent him, that he wrote that this dye from this shelled fish, shell animal, will wash away if you'll wash the clothing. And the truth of the matter is it doesn't wash out. Rabbi Tendler is very gung-ho on this trellis. He encouraged some of his students. Those are the ones who started the whole trellis industry in Eretz Yisrael now. He encouraged one of his students to get involved in this, and they manufactured a trellis. So he says that he took some of this trellis and he soaked it in, what are you soaking in to get out the dye?
Bleach.
He soaked it in bleach for a week. He said he soaked it in bleach for a week and it didn't budge. The color didn't go. So that's pretty indelible. The Gemara says because the trellis is supposed to remind us of the heavens, trellis damal rakia, so that's why the Gemara says when you wind around the strings around, you have one third should be wound around, and Gemara says and two thirds should be loose. That's how the Gemara says in Perakat trellis. The Gemara says when you wind around, you should wind around seven times because trellis damal rakia nereshivarikim. That's a Gemara in the second Perek in Chagig, and the Gemara establishes based on psukim in Tanakh. The Gemara has a collection of various psukim. That's where the expression comes from. The person is in seventh heaven. It means it's all the way top of all the heavens. By Yechasene, we say, Baruch Alekeinu Shehasim Chabi Ma'ono. Ma'on is not the seventh heaven. Ma'on is at this, I think, the fifth heaven or something. So that's the question. Why don't we want the Chasim Kala to be like in the seventh heaven? So there's a good explanation why. It's what to work on for a drasha, for a sheva brachas. So the Gemara says there are seven heavens. In order to have seven heavens, you have to have six avirim to be mafsik. If you don't have any avir mafsik between one heaven and the other, so it's all one heaven. So if you have seven heavens, you have to have six avirim in between. So the Gemara says when you wind around, you should have a minimum of seven times around and a maximum of 13. Seven and six is 13. If you want to include the seven Rikim, Shiva Rikim, with the Vav Avirim, so together it's 13. The Gemara says you should have between 7 and 13. So that's a big machlekes in Taisvis and machlekes the Ram and the Rabbi, between 7 and 13 watts. What are you talking about? So we have the practice now, when you wrap around Chela, when you wrap around Tzitzis, so we make four units, and we make 7, 8, 11, 13. So the smallest Chulya, that's called the Chulya, between one knot and the other, the smallest Chulya we have is 7, the largest chulya we have is 13. So that's based on this Gemara. You should have between 7 and 13. Because the minimum is 7 rikim, and 13 is the 7 rikim at the Sheish Avir. Yeah. Most of the Rishonim and Tosfos do not hold like that. Most of the Rishonim hold that when the Gemara says should be between 7 and 13, it means between 7 and 13 chulyas. How many krichas in each chulya? The Gemara says 3. The Gemara says you have to have 3 krichas in each chulya. So what the Gemara means, instead of having 4, we have, for many generations, we have 4 chulyas. And the first chulya we have 7, then 8, then 11, then 13. We only have 4 chulyas. And most of the Rishonim say, and most of the opinions in Tosfos hold, you're supposed to have a minimum of 7 chulyas. So Tosfos asks, how come we don't make 7 chulyas? We only have 4. That was the practice of the Baal HaTosfos. Tosfos says, look, we don't have tcheles anyway. The tcheles got lost. We don't have any tcheles anyway. So what are you going to make? 7, 13. The whole thing is Daimel Rakia. There is no tcheles, not Daimel Rakia. So we're not so makbid. But when you really have tcheles, then Tosfos says, then you got to have a minimum of 7 chulyas. And each chulya should have 3 krichas. If a person thinks that he has tcheles and he wants to be yotze both opinions, so what he should really do is have 7 chulyas, and each chulya should have 7 krichas. So you're satisfying the both opinions. One opinion was that you have to have between 7 and 13 krichas in each chulya. The other opinion was you have to have between 7 and 13 chulyas, and each chulya can consist of only 3 krichas. So to satisfy both, you should have 7 krichas with 7 chulyas each. Okay, it's going to use up an awful lot of string. How many strings of tcheles are you supposed to have? So that's a fundamental machloikas harishonim. The Rambam and the Ravid both hold that the Netziv points out in his commentary on the Shiltas. The Rambam and the Ravid both hold that the role of the tcheles is only to wind around. The purpose of the tcheles is to wind around the tzitzis. All you need is one string. That's not tzitzis akana, psil tcheles, one string. What's the definition of one string? So the Rambam says one string out of 8, which in effect is a half a string. The Rabbi says that's a half a string. Psil tcheles means a whole string. So one whole long string, one whole long string. Out of the 4 long strings, one entire string should be tcheles. And Rashi and Tosfos and Menachos disagree. They both understand the Mishnah and the Gemara to say that tcheles is not merely for the purpose of winding around. No, then it's mamash a tofel to the mitzvah. They said they hold their 2 parts to the tzitzis, the tcheles and the zlovan. They have 2 long strings of wool and 2 long strings of white and 2 long strings of tcheles. It's part of the mitzvah of tzitzis. Half of the mitzvah is tcheles, half of the mitzvah is zlovan.
Isn't the
pashtus
of pasuk
sil tcheles? One string. The simple reading of the pasuk sounds like it's one string. How about it?
So is one string.
It
just comes out of
two sides. No, but according to Rashi and Tosfos, you have 2 long strings at tcheles and 2 long strings at lavan. So why does it say psil? It sounds benosnot, tzitzis hakona, psil tcheles. You should take one string and wind it around. It sounds like the Rambam and the Raivim. But according to Rashi and Tosfos, Rashi and Chumash is not the same as Rashi and the Gemara. Rashi says that it took 7 days from Yetzias Mitzrayim till Kriyas Yamsuf. So that's why you have 7 strings. In Rashi it says that it took 8 days. That's why there are 8 strings in the tzitzis connected the 8 days. What 8 days? Kriyas Yamsu was on Shvi Shal Pesach. It wasn't on the 8th day of Pesach. What does he mean? So that's what the Meshul Chochman thinks. It must be a misprint in Rashi. It should say it took 7 days between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsu. And Rashi is referring to the 7 white strings. There are 7 white strings and 1 blue string that Rashi and Chumash seems to hold like the Rambam. That half of 1 long string, 1 out of the 8 strings is blue, and the 7 of the 8 strings are white. So Rashi said the 7 white strings correspond to the 7 days between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsu. But Rashi and the Gemara writes the same as Tosfos, that is 2 and 2. The Netziv, in his commentary on the Shiltas, thinks that maybe it's a Machlokes HaTanaim and the Sifrei. He interprets that there's a Machlokes HaTanaim, whether it's half and half, like a Rashi and Tosfos on the Gemara, it's like the Rambam and the Rabbi, it's only one string. So that's the big issue, Bizman HaZeh. Yeah, they quote from the, it's a Pela, how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow such a tragedy to occur that sometime in the period of the Gaonim, the Tcheles got lost? The Gaonim talk about different opinions, how to tie, how do you wrap around the Tcheles, how exactly do you do it? So in the days of the Gaonim, they were still practicing Tcheles, and then somehow the Tkuvas HaGaonim had disappeared. Days of the Tanaim, days of the Amoraim, they were tcheles. And then in the Tkuvas HaGaonim, it disappeared. How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow such a tragedy to occur? So the quote from the Kisvei HaArizal, that the tragedy is nita zogifelach, it's not so awful, because the whole value of Tcheles is only bisman shebeis hamikdash hayekayim. Bisman shein beis hamikdash kayim. He's not saying a din that the mitzvah is only noig bisman shebeis hamikdash hayekayim. The tanoim and amoroim and the goyim lived after the churban abayis, and they were still obligated to put on Tcheles. But the whole value of the mitzvah, the whole significance, it only has meaning bisman hamikdash. Bisman shein beis hamikdash kayim, it doesn't have that much significance, so it's no great tragedy, the fact that that we lost the Tcheles. It's the Chapela. Where did that come from? From outer space. How come the Gemara doesn't say that? Where did he get such an Einfall? So the Satmar Rebbe, the previous Satmar Rebbe, was a genius. Leis Man de Palik. He was a big genius. So he said, no, it's an off in the Gemara. That the Gemara says in Brachas, in the last parak in Brachas, that when you see lightning and you hear thunder and you see the Swiss Alps and you see different bodies of water, you recite different Brachas. And then the Gemara says, when you see a beautiful day and the blue sky is visible and it's so clear, so you also recite a special bracha on that. Then the Gemara says, but we don't recite, I never heard of that bracha, the Gemara, we don't recite it today. After the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, how does the Gemara say? Haroya rakia b'toharasa. One who sees a beautiful sky, no clouds and everything is beautiful. He says, Baruch Hashem Maisa Bereshis. Sure. Then the Gemara says, how come it's not quoted in the Rambam Shulchan Aruch? So the Gemara concludes. And for the Gemara, the Amar Rav Chisda, Miyom Shachar Beis HaMikdash, Laniris Rakia B'Taharosa. After the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, the sky is not as beautiful as it used to be. This mancha Beis HaMikdash, Ha'yikayim Shenema, and they quote a pasuk from Yeshaya. Shain. Al B'Shamayim Kadrus, V'Isak Osim Ksusam. The whole world is crying over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So the sky, you don't really see the beautiful blue color of the sky. So Tcheles is supposed to be done with the Rakia, and that's not, after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, that's not the right color of the sky. So you don't accomplish too much by having the Tcheles. That's what the Satmar Rebbe said is the mocker for this Arizal. Without this Gemara, the whole Arizal mamish doesn't make sense, on hent and on feast. So he gave an interpretation. So the Arizal didn't say a din that Bisman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kaim, there's no chiyuv to put on Tcheles, that's not so. There is a chiv to put on Tcheles. He just said that it's not such a great tragedy, the fact that Tcheles was lost, because Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, we're not accomplishing that much with the Tcheles anyway. So that was a big question when the Radzina Rebbe came up with his Tcheles, should we all jump on the bandwagon or not? So the Beis HaLevi was one of the Rabbanim, that was the father of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, was one of the Rabbanim who was opposed. But he never wrote his opinion himself. So a friend of his, a close associate of his, sent a letter to the Radzina Rebbe. The Radzina Rebbe printed three svarim on the topic of Tcheles. Now they're printed together, one fat little sefer. It's called Shloshes Sifri HaTcheles. Each one has a different name. So in the second and the third volumes of the svarim, he has the letters that the Gedolim sent him. Some Gedolim were for, some Gedolim were against. Everyone had an opinion. Rabbi Yitzchak Hanna was for. He wrote in the letter that he would go along with him. He Rabbi Yeshiva University, so he wrote he would go along with him. But he says, I'm in the middle of fighting some major battles here. He was fighting against the Maskilim in Kovna, and he that's probably what he means. And he says, if I'm going to start wearing Tcheles, they'll think that I'm stomach crackpot, and I'll lose the battle against the Maskilim. So he says, I can't, for political reasons, I can't. That's the question. What do you mean? If the halacha says you have to wear tcheles, so what do you mean you're going to lose your battle against the maskim? So you lose the battle. Let the Rabbanu Shlom worry about the battle with the maskim. It's a questionable letter from Rabbi Yitzchak Hanna. That's what he wrote. And other Rabbanim wrote, many Gedolim were for. Many Gedolim wore tcheles before the Second World War. Not only Hasidim. Many non-Hasidish also wore. Tens of thousands of Hasidim wore. Not only Radzina. There weren't so many Radzina Hasidim. Many other Hasidim wore. But the Beis HaLevi was opposed. So the letter that's printed in the Sefer from the Radzina Rebbe was sent by an associate of the Beis HaLevi. He doesn't identify him. He says it was sent by Talmud Chacham, a Mekurev of the Rav Mibrisk. He doesn't identify who it is. So in that letter, he writes the following. He says, he heard from the Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik, if you would have come up with a different fish and a different source of Tcheles, I would have been happy to go along with you. Why not? But you tell me the squid fish. Our forefathers know this squid fish spits out this black dye. You didn't discover America. We knew that before you went to the aquarium in Italy. And they all knew about the existence of this big fish, and they never used that for trellis. So we have sort of a tradition that you're wrong. We have a masura that you're wrong. But if we come up with a new fish, a new source of trellis, and you'll explain why it got lost historically, I'll be happy to wear the trellis. That's what it says in the Sefer, in the letter that he quotes verbatim, word for word, from this Talmid Chacham who's supposed to be Mekurev with the Beis Halevi. If that's the case, then they came up with this new trellis now, and they gave a whole historical explanation why it disappeared in the days of the Gaonim, that the Goyish governments didn't allow them to use trellis. They felt that trellis is the royal blue, and only members of the government, only members of the royal family are allowed to wear that blue, and other people who wear that color blue is Moreh B'Malchus. So that's it, and that's what it says in the Gemara, that the government was gunning out against them. They were bedavke opposed to letting them have trellis. So it doesn't appear from the Gemara that their position was on religious grounds. They didn't want the Jews to keep mitzvahs. Tzitzis didn't bother them, just trellis bothered them. So that's what these people claim, that they have historical sources to indicate that was considered Moreh B'Malchus, that they felt that this was royal blue. The Soloveitchik family has an oral tradition of what the Beis HaLevi said that's totally different, totally the opposite from the way it says in the letter that the Radzina Rebbe printed. Their oral tradition was that the Beis HaLevi said, even if you're right that the squid fish is the chalos, and even if you're right, you're wrong, because you have to have a masori, you have to have a tradition to be able to identify which is the chalosin. Because man, you don't have a tradition, you cannot reconstruct the tradition based on a dictionary, based on archaeological evidence, or based on anything like this. So that was their claim. So they say that even if you have a historical explanation to explain why the trellis got lost dafken at Tkuvas Hagoyim, but since we don't have a tradition, so this is not the trellis. So they insist on not wearing any new trellis. The shaila is which of the two versions of the Beis HaLevi makes more sense. Rabbi Feivel Cohen from Flatbush, the author of the Svarim Badei HaShulchan, spent quite a bit of time in Eretz Yisrael getting shimush by Rabbi Yashiv. So he, even when he came back to America, he used to carry on a correspondence with Rabbi Yashiv. So he once sent him a letter, and he asked him which of the two versions that he think makes more sense. So he sent him back a response. He thinks that the printed version makes more sense. He doesn't think that the other one makes sense. You have to have a tradition. You can't reconstruct what the Pirush Amilos is of Chalozin. If you have a dictionary, they say that Tosis has, the Gemara says, when you eat Orez, there's a Machloikas Hatanaim. So Rabbi Yechem Anuri holds that Orez is Bar Min Mizoinis, and if you make bread out of it, it's Hamoitin, you have to bench, and you can use it for matzah. The Gemara says, we don't pass like that, but Orez, you say Mizoinis, and you say Bar Nefoshes. So Tosis has two opinions, only Orez, not Doichen. Tosis has two opinions, which is Orez, which is Doichen. So is Orez rice and Doichen is something else? Or Doichen is rice and Orez is something else? So they're not sure. So it's a suffix whether you say Mezainis on rice or not. So you ask any Sephardi from the neighborhood, you ask them how do you say rice? Arroz. You ask any Arab in the Middle East, they all say Arroz is rice. Everybody knows it. It says in all the dictionaries. So the Soloveitchik family say, we can't rely on the dictionaries, we can't rely on the Puerto Ricans, we can't rely on the Arabs. If we don't have a tradition, Tosis lost the tradition where the Oiris is rice or Dechen is rice. We lost the tradition. You can't reconstruct it based on dictionaries. You're gonna have to get back someone from the dead. And Moshe Rabbeinu is going to have to tell us, or Rabbi Yudan Nasi, some one of the Chachmiso is going to have to tell us. And others assume not so. The Minigolim, everybody says, Bar Min Mizan is on rice. Everybody assumes that you can pick up a Pirush Amilus when they're going. So that's the issue over here. So Rav Yashiv sent him back a letter to Rabbi Feivel Cohen. He thinks that the tradition of the Soloveitchik family does not make any sense. He thinks it makes more sense the other way. They have a tradition fakir. So then he asked, if so, so what do you say to the new trellis? So he writes, I don't know. So then he asked him permission to print the letters that he sent. They gave him permission. So Feivel Cohen printed the letters. Okay. So he doesn't know. He doesn't know.
Why does it look at the birds, the Torah name, so it's trade for birds, so we have to have them start? What the names are?
The Gemara says you don't need a Masorah. The Gemara says if you, there are simanim, the big sugya, what the simanim are, but there are certain simanim that l'chol hadeis these birds will be kosher. If you have four simanim to identify that this is a kosher bird, you don't have to know that, you don't have to have a masor. But the Gemara tells a story in Elu Treifis that on one occasion the Chachamim checked a certain bird and had all the simanim tahara, so they ate it. Then after a while they realized that they misidentified, that it really did not have all the simanim tahara, and they realized that we're eating a non-kosher bird. So Rashi writes on that Gemara, if the Heilige Amarayim fell in, we can certainly fall in. So he recommends as a Midas Chassidus, as a Minik, Rashi usually doesn't give any psak halacha. So Rashi on the daf, on the Gemara says, if they fell in, we can fall in. So we shouldn't eat any bird unless you have a tradition. So chicken and turkey we don't have. Chicken and geese and ducks, we have a tradition. And other exotic birds, we don't have a tradition.
If only there won't be a diary. There won't be
a diary. Right. So the Ramah quotes this from the Issa V'Heta of Rabbeinu Yoyin Ashkenazi. But Rabbeinu Yoyin Ashkenazi got it from this Rashi. That's Rashi. The Chachmi Svara don't have such a tradition. They don't follow this Rashi. So Mechaber writes, as long as you have a bird that lives up to all the simani tahara, so you can eat it even without a masorah. And the Ramah quotes this from the Rabbeinu Yoyin from the Issa V'Heta and from the Rashi, that you shouldn't eat a bird without a masorah. What happened to the turkey was that when Columbus came back from America to Europe, he brought with him the turkeys. They never had a masorah on the turkeys, but he went back to Spain. So they were all Sfardim. So they don't follow the Ramah, they followed the Mechaber. He came back before the Ramah wrote his sefer. The Ramah lived in Poland in the 1500s. He came back 1492. He came back before the Ramah's days. So the Sfardim never had such a minig that you need a masorah. So the Sfardim were eating turkey for the longest time. Then the Ashkenazim saw, oh, they're eating the turkeys, and they must have had a masorah, that it's kosher. So the Ashkenazim started eating it also. And they didn't realize there never was a masorah on the turkey, and they got it from America. There never was a masorah. So that's why there was a big hullabaloo, there was a big machlokes, is it right to eat turkey?
And
by behema, the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch never says, just there's a questionable shach. The shach points out that by there's a difference between a behema and a chaya. There are several differences. Halacha lemaisa. So one difference is by behema the chaylev is also with an isa koris. By chaya, chaylev chaya is muta. It's all muta like shuman. The other difference is that a chaya needs kisa adam and behema does not need kisa adam. Both of us menon zan lanoig be behema, not be chaya. There are several differences. So when you get to chaylev, so chaylev abe chaya is muta, chaylev abe behema is os. How do you identify which given animal is behema, which is a chaya? So the Gemara has simanim and chulin about how curly the horns are. That's a little tricky. It's an issue of karis, whether you're allowed to eat the chaylev or not. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes all these dinim. Then the Shach says the whole thing is irrelevant by us because we only eat it if we have a masor. So what did that line mean? So the most of the later poskim, the primogodim and all the others, the kafachaim and all the others, they all say we only eat chaylev of a chaya if we have a masor that this animal is a chaya. And therefore the chaylev is muti. He never meant to say you only eat flesh of an animal that you have a masur on, that it's kosher. If you have malager, mafiz parsa, what's so difficult about that? That's not so difficult to determine whether an animal is malager, mafiz parsa. So most of the poskim hold, they say beferish, that you don't need a masur to be allowed to eat any given animal. If it's malager, mafiz parsa, it's mutter. You need a masur to eat chaylev of a chaya. So the Shach says, our minig is we only eat chaylev chay if you have a masur that this is a chay. So forget about all the shape of the horns, don't break your head, we're not going to rely on this anyway. The Chochmas Sodom writes differently. He quotes this Shach, maybe he's saying a minig in Vilna, maybe the Shach also lived in Vilna in the early years, till the Chemalnitsky arrives, then he had it run for his life and he ran to a different community. So the Chochmas Sodom writes that the minig is we only eat animals if we have a masar that they're kosher. It's not so wild, not so bad to understand because the Torah Tmima writes on the Parshas Re'eh when the Chumash has about the kosher animals and not kosher animals. So Torah Tmima writes about a certain animal in the African jungles that is malagera mafis parsa, and he's discussing the kashrus status of the animal. So for I think over 100 years, the world's zoologists, whatever you call them, they all assumed that that animal in the African jungles was malagera. And then about 10 years ago, they realized that they made a mistake. It's not malagera. Malagera doesn't mean it's always chewing food. Malagera means it swallows the food, goes down to the stomach, then it comes back up in the mouth. So the experts of the world made a mistake for 100 years, over 100 years. They thought that that animal in the African jungles was malaga, and it just came out about 10 years ago, 10, 15 years ago. Within the last 15 years, they came to the realization that it's not malaga. So there is room to make a mistake. Just like Rashi says, you shouldn't eat a bird unless you have a tradition, because you can make a mistake identifying the semen of the dori, so you can really make a mistake regarding the malaga as well. So that's what the Chochma Sodom writes. So the Chazon Ish made a big tumult about that. He said if they'll introduce animals in Eretz Yisrael that we don't have a Masorah on, animals from other countries, but we don't have a Masorah on, so the other Jews will be allowed to eat them, but the Litvakas will not be allowed to eat them. So you'll be introducing new problems. Because in Lithuania, they used to follow the Chayyarim and the Chochma Sodom like the Bible. Whatever he said, they learned the Chayyarim and the Chochma Sodom. So he says, if you'll introduce these animals that we don't have a tradition on, so the Litvakas will have a problem. Unless you have, that's what the latest forums say, unless you have a Masorah on a cow, we have a Masorah on a cow, that it's kosher. We have a Masorah on sheep, on lamb chops. We eat a lamb. Lamb is kosher. Sheep is kosher. These things, we have a Masorah. So if you have an animal, you have a Masorah on, and this can breed with another animal that you don't have a Masorah on, and they can have a Vlad. So the Gemara says in the first Perek Mechorist that two non-kosher animals can give birth together. Two different types of non-kosher animals. One is Zoch, one is in the cave, of course. They'll be able to have a Vlad. Then two kosher animals can have a Vlad, but a kosher animal and non-kosher animal are so different, they cannot have a Vlad together. So if you have two animals can give birth to a Vlad, then one of them we have a Masorah on, the other one you don't have a Masorah on, but they can have Vladas together, so that's an indication that that's also kosher. So that's the equivalent of having a Masorah. So what's the issue?
If they can make an animal take the genes from kosher animals and non-kosher animals.
I mean, they can create a new strain of an animal that'll be malager mafis parsa. Should be kosher? Should be kosher. If it's malager mafis parsa, should be kosher. If you have a camel that gives birth to a cow, so the Gemara says that's also. So that's a question, but it has malager mafis parsa. The Vlad has both. So the Pischi Tshuva and Yerideya in three different places quotes a suffix from the Yad Eliyahu, that's one of the Sfardish Achrenim, about Eliyahu Galafafa, a dead giveaway to a Sfardish name. So he has a suffix, why is it also? Is it also because it's not called a cow? Malager Mafis Parsa means it's a min of a Behemoth Torah. This is a para bas para bas para bas para, all the way back to Sheshis Mebreshis. But if you know that the lineage all along was always camel, 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 camel. All of a sudden now there's an abnormal development and the camel gives birth to a para. So basically it's a camel. Is that why it's osur? Mamash a min behemoth tameo? Or should I say no? If this animal has malager mafis parsa, this is a behemoth Torah. But it's yotze min ha'osur. Just like if you have a camel that gives off milk, and if you have an eagle that lays eggs, so the eggs that come from the eagle or the milk that comes from the camel is also because yotze min ha'osur. Here you have a kosher cow, has malager mafis parsa, cow is kosher, it's a min tohar, but it's also b'achila because it's yotze min ha'osur. What's the difference? What's the difference how you slice it? Whether the para bas gomel is also b'achila because it's a behemoth tameo, no, it's really a behemoth Torah, has its own malager mafis parsa, but it's also b'achila because it's yotze min ha'osur. So one of the places where the Pischi Tshuva quotes it, he quotes it in three different places. One place where he quotes it is regarding writing Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzah on the hide, on the parchment made from the hide of such an animal. You cannot write on Or Behemoth Tmeo. But if you have Or Behemoth Tehoiro, that's a Trefa, that's also Bachila. So the Gemara said, that's fine. Trefa and Avela, that's okay. But if it's a min tummy, then it's no good. So that's his original suffix. Is it a min behemoth meyo? Or is it really a behemoth tar, but it's also bachil? Not a nafkamina, which won't be quoted in the Yerudei, will be a shchita chala on it. Shchita is not chala on an elephant and on a camel. It's shecht an elephant and a camel, and not only is it also bachil, it's metami also, has tumas nevelas. Shchita is only chal on a behemoth tar. So what if I'll shecht this para bas gomel? So if I declare it's a behemoth meyo, since the mother and the grandmother, great-grandmother, all the way back to Sheshes, Bei Breshes, were all camels, so this part is also a camel. It's abnormal that it happens to have Malager Mafis Parsa, but basically it's a camel. So then Shechita won't even be chal, so it'll have tumas nevelis. But if you say, no, basically it has malagerim, afis parsa, this animal is a behemoth Torah. This behemoth Torah happens to be osa b'achila because it's yotim and ha'osim. Let's say I have a behemoth Torah and I shecht it and I cook it with milk. The behemoth Torah, I made it into basar b'chol. So this behemoth Torah happens to be osa because of yotim and ha'osim. So if it's only mitam yotim and ha'osim, then it's not a behemoth tamei, then it would be nitfas and Shechita. As a few other nachminis, if it's yotzim and ha'asa, the Rambam holds there's no malchus if you eat it. If you drink the milk from a camel or you eat the eggs from an eagle, so it's a machlokes tesis in the Rambam. Tesis holds that there is malchus, the Rambam holds there's no malchus. So that's one nachmina that the Pischei Tshuva quotes in the Chel Galaf Yeridei. Would you get malchus if you would eat this parah bazgam? As in a few places. Yeah, because originally it developed from the gomel, developed from the gomel, so so it's called yotzim and ha'asa. Yeah. The Gemara has a din that most people do not observe, that the tzitzis and each corner should be. Chava quotes this from the Sifrei. It doesn't appear in the Gemara. Chava quotes it from the Sifrei on the pasuk in Shlach. Nosna tzitzis hakonaf psil treles, that the tzitzis, chuti tzitzis should be no tefes ala keren. When you wear a big talis, so you can either have the tzitzis hang down directly, straight down to the floor, or the tzitzis should come out sideways from the nekev and hang down over the corner. So the Mechaber quotes the din. More correct is to have it no tefes ala keren. And if your tzitzis happens to be hanging straight down, so you should correct it and have it come out through the sides. The Achronim have a machlokes, are you permitted to correct it on Shabbos? Maybe it's an Issa Misak and Mona. It says in the Rif in Sukkah, the Rif writes a half a sentence, so if you fill in the whole sentence, so the Ran says what the sentence would have said is like this. If the din would have been like Rabbi Yehuda, that lulav tzorach eged, that if you didn't wrap it, if you didn't tie it together, the lulav, the hadasim and the arav is simply not yotze the mitzvah. So let's say an erev yontif, you didn't tie it together, you want to tie it together on yontif, you want to wrap around the thing and tuck it in. So the Rif sounds like he says that's called mesaken mana, because you simply can't be yotze the mitzvah the way it is now. The only way to be yotze the mitzvah is by putting an eged, so you're being machsha the cheftze. That's like the Mishnah has, if you have a hadas, she'anav of merube me'alov, if you have hadasim, they have a lot of berries on them. So pull off the berries and the hadasim will be good. But it says if you didn't pull them off before yontif, so you're not like eim ematim yontif, because to pull off the berries on yontif is misakin mana. Most of the Rishonim hold that it's only misakin mana with the rabbanon. That's the big tesis in Yuma on daf lamed ches, wherever it is there. So the tesis writes it's only misakin mana with the rabbanon. It's not misakin mana in Atura. And on the side of the tesis, Rabbi Kivega is mitzayin that the Mordechai quotes a Rabbi Yo, no, it's misak mana derais. So the Rif says on that, the Rif writes Kielu a whole sentence. If the din would have been like Rabbi Yehuda, and you hadn't made the egged on Erev Yontov, then you wouldn't be permitted to put the egged in on Yontov. That would constitute a malacha of Misakin Mona. With the Rabbanon, with the Reis, or whatever it is, doesn't go into the details, but the Misakin Mona, the Reis, and the Rabbanon. But since we paskin that Lulav ain't tzorach egged, the egged is only Lachatchil Mishum Zakel Vian Vehu, so if you didn't wrap around the Lulav, the Hadassim and the Arabis, and Erev Yontov, and you put it into the container on Yontov, there's no violation of Misakin Mana. So that's the Rif. So then the Achrayim say over here also, this is not Miyakev B'Dievet. If the tzitzis are hanging straight down, so you're also out to the mitzvah. More correct is the mitzvah Bishlei Musa is to have them come out sideways, and it should be no tefes ala keren, as opposed to hanging straight down. So many Achrayim say, so that's not called Misakin Mana. If on Shabbos you realize your tzitzis are hanging down, you want to correct them, they should come out sideways, they should be hanging down over the corner of the beged, that wouldn't be Misakin Mana, because it's not Miyakev B'Dievet. And other Achrayim say, no, it's not the same. By Lulav, Ein Tzorach Eged, the Eged is only Mishum Hider Mitzvah. The Gemara says, Zekel Yan Vehu, requires that you put an Eged. Over here, it's more than that. Over here, this is called the Mitzvah Bishlei Musa, as opposed to Mitzvah Shalom Bishlei Musa. So here, if the tzitzis are hanging down and you're going to correct it, that it should come out sideways, this would be Misakin Mana on Shabbos. You're making it into a mitzvah Bishlei Musa. So that is an Issa Misakin Mana. The Rif only says there's no Issa or Misakin Mana, because Lulav Ein Tzorach Eged, it's not even It's not even called the mitzvah shalav b'shalay musa. It's a hida mitzvah. Mishum zekel ma'aveh. It's a hida mitzvah. There's a difference between saying a mitzvah shalav b'shalay musa and saying a mitzvah b'shalay musa, but you can do it even more mehuda. To do more mehuda, to make it more mehuda, that's not a violation of mesakan mana. But to perform a mitzvah b'shalay musa, some say you are being machshad achepz. You're making it into a mitzvah b'shalay musa. Right, Tosfos says, the Gemara says in Gittin, Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis, that a woman may not write Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah based on the fact that in Chumash Dvarim Vidash and Smuchim. That's the Gemara at the beginning of Yevamos on Daf Hei. The Gemara says, in Kol HaTorah Kula, Bereishis through Bamid, but we do not Darshan Smuchim. If you have two dinim in the same pasuk, that's called a Hekesh. So you do Darshan a Hekesh. But if you have two dinim and two adjacent psukim, so that's called Smuchim, so that's a Machlokes HaTanoim. In the beginning of Yevamos, by the Yidashin Smuchim or not. So the Gemara says, it's a question how we paskin. So it seems the Pashtus in the Gemara seems to imply that we paskin only in Chumash Dvarim. In Mishnah Torah, the Gemara gives a special reason why Yidashin Smuchim. In Akola Tarkula, we do not Darshan Smuchim. We have many, many, many halachas based on the assumption that we Darshan Smuchim in Chumash Dvarim. So this is one of the this is one of the many halachas that it says in Kriyashma, Akshartam Los Lagadecha, Uchsaftam Amazuzas, Besecha Bisharecha. Who can do Uchsaftam Amazuzah? Who can write Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah? Only one who is Akshartam Los Lagadecha, one who is a Barkshira, one is Mechuyiv to put on Tefillin. A woman is not Mechuyiv to put on Tefillin, so she's not kosher even for writing a Mezuzah. Even though she's Mechuyiv and Mezuzah, I would understand if a woman, you tell a woman can't write Tefillin, because not Mechuyiv and Tefillin. But the Gemara says, a woman can't even write a mezuzah, because that's what it says. Chsavtam al mezuzahs beisech v'sherecha. Ksivas ha mezuzah is only kosher if it's done by one who is akshartam leos al yadecha. So the Rabbi Natam says on that gemara, that's in Gitna mem heimen beis, that a woman cannot write sefer Torah, Tefillin, and mezuzah. Megillah says there's a machlokes. Some achrayim want to say a woman may write Megillah Esther because it says in the Megillah about tichtav Esther. But others say no. Esther sent a letter to the Rabbanim and not about tichtav Esther. Esther didn't write a Megillah Esther. But one writes a Megillah Esther, it's part of Kisvei HaKodesh. Just like a woman cannot write a Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah, a woman cannot write a Megillah Esther either. Right, just like a woman is Mechuyiv and Mezuzah, but she can't write her own Mezuzah. They're Mechuyiv in Mikra Megillah, but most of the Achrayim assume that the woman is still puzzled for Ksivas HaMegillah. She has to have a Megillah that's written by a man. So the Tosfos writes on that Gemara and Gittin Mem Hei Amud Beis Mikan Omer Rabbi Natan. Based on this Gemara, the Rabbi Natan says that if a woman should not tie tzitzis and a woman should not tie the lulav, make the egad on the lulav, because whoever is ain't of a Torah that mitzvah cannot do that mitzvah. So the Achrayim has come to say, other Rabbi, the Gemara needed a pasuk over here. Kshartim Achsaftim the Smuchim and Mishnah Torah Dashan Smuchim. So it says the only one who can do a chsavtam al mezuzahs beisech v'sherecha is the one who is able, one is mechuyiv to do a kshartam al osal yadecha. But by tying the tzitzis or by tying the eged around the lulav, where do you have a drasha from a pasuk? So how does Rabbi Natan say mikan oim Rabbi Natan? Based on this gemara, he extrapolates that a woman is possible for tying the kshir on the tzitzis, and a woman is possible for tying around the Dalad Minim. So the Achrayim explain, the Rabbi Natan understood the Gemara like this, that a woman is pasul for writing tefillin, that you don't even need a pasuk for. Whoever is Zainab Torah cannot create Lishmo. Because they ask another kasha on the Rabbi Natan. How can the Rabbi Natan say that a woman is pasul for tying tzitzis, a woman is pasul for tying the Dalad Minim together? The Gemara says in Sukkah, Daf Chesed and Beis, that a Sukkah's Noshim is kosher. A Sukkah made by a woman is kosher. So it says, Beferish, a woman can make a Sukkah. The truth of the matter, the Gemara never said that. The Gemara says, Sukkah's Noshim means a Sukkah that was made for women. Sukkah that was made for women. It doesn't necessarily mean, the Gemara talks about a Sukkah's Behema. Sukkah's Behema means the Behema put the Schach, it means that the Sukkah was made for a Behema. It wasn't made l'shem mitzvah. So Sukkah's Noshim doesn't necessarily mean the Sukkah was constructed by Noshim. But that is the din. Okay, the Gemara doesn't say, that is the din. The din is, the Gemara says there in Sukkah that there's machlokes b'shamay and b'sil. According to b'shamay, a sukkah has to be, the schach has to be put on lishma. So a goy cannot put on the schach because he needs lishma. And we pass like this hillel, the sukkah does not need asiyah lishma, so a goy can put the schach on. So that they ask on the Rabbeinu Tam, how can he say such a thing that that whoever is any b'toras cannot tie the tzitzis and cannot tie the lulav and the estrig? You don't have to be b'toras to make a sukkah. So the Achreinim answered, the Ksav Sefer has the first tshuva in Chelek Arachayim, and the Mishkan is Yankev in his Sefer on Sukkah and Kohel is Yankev, and others explain as well. The Rabbeinu Tam understood like this: whenever you need lishma for any particular, let's say matzah, you have to bake it lishma. So whenever you need lishma, the only one who can create lishma is the one who is mechuyev in that mitzvah. Whoever is Zayin b'Toras cannot create lishma. That's how the Rambam understood the Gemara that a nochri cannot write a get, because nochri adaita de nafshi kav. What do you mean adaita de nafshi? So the Rambam writes, he's Zayin b'Toras get mikidushin. Whoever is Zayin b'Toras cannot create lishma. That's how the Rambam understood the Gemara. It's not that they're two different dinim, one din Zayin b'Toras and one din lishma. Whoever is Zayin b'Toras cannot create lishma. So the mazel is, that's what the goyim say, a goy cannot bake the matzahs for the seder because the goy is not mechuyev in the mitzvah matzah. Whoever is zayin b'toras cannot create lishma. Women are mechuyev in matzah. A mazel that even though it's a zman grama, women are mechuyev in matzah. If the women would have not been mechuyev in matzah, the women would not have been able to bake the matzahs. And all the generations, the women did bake matzahs. The answer is because the women are mechuyev. So this, the Rabbeinu Tam says like this, that a woman is not kosher for writing tefillin. That I didn't need any pasuk for. That I would know on my own, because the woman is not mechuyev in tefillin. Whoever is zayin b'toras cannot create the shema. But mezuzah, the women are mechuyev in. So for what good reason do you declare that a woman is pasul for ksivas on mezuzah? So that the Gemara needed a drasha. Whoever is mechuyev in the mitzvah of tefillin is kosher for writing mezuzah. So the woman is pasul even for writing a mezuzah. For writing tefillin, that's upgeret. I didn't need a pasuk for that. So that's what leads the Rabbeinu Tam to say that by tying tzitzis you need lishma. That's a machlekes harishayim. The Gemara just says you need lishma by tviyas achutim, when you take the raw wool and you convert it into string. So that has to, the tviyas achutim has to be lishma. The Gemara never says one way or the other whether tying the chutim onto the beged has to be lishma. So Tosis and the Rambam have a machlekes toshishita is. The reason why Tviyas HaChutim needs a Shema, because that's part of the Asiyas HaBeg, part of the Asiyas HaTzitzis. When you tie it onto the beggar, that's the real Asiyah. That for sure needs a Shema. The Gemara has a machlokes, do you even go back to the Tviyas HaChutim? And we say even that needs a Shema. But tying on the strings to the beggar, Havana needs a Shema. That's Tosfos Shita. So that's where the Rabbeinu Tam says that since Tzitzis is a mitzvah, says Hashazman Groma, Machlekes Hatanoim, says the Gemara in Brachas, so since we paskin us a mitzvah, says Hashazman Groma, since it's not noig balaylo, so therefore women are exempt. So a woman cannot create lishmo, so a woman cannot tie the chutim on the beggar, and I don't need a pasuk for that. That's how the Rabbeinu Tam understood. So then the Rabbeinu Tam adds on also, when you tie on the eged, how can it be pasul? So the pashtus, the Rabbeinu Tam means according to Rabbi Yudit. If you all like Rabbi Yudit, the eged is ma'akev. And he holds that the asiyas ha'eged has to be lishma. So then, if a woman is going to make the eged, it'll be possible. But the way we paskin la'alocha that the eged is not mi'akev. So why should you say that you need dafka lishma? Me'echetesa. Why should you say you need lishma? That the Rabbeinu Tam should say that it's possible. The pashtus says we shouldn't quote that Rabbeinu Tam halacha l'maisa. The problem is that the Magen Avraham does quote it. Magen Avraham quotes that Rabbeinu Tam that you shouldn't permit a woman to tie the dalad minim together. Here in the neighborhood, the Bnei Akiva always sells dalad minim. So for years, they had a single girl who was active in Bnei Akiva. The single girl was always in charge of tying together the lulavim and the hadasim and the aravos. She got married a long time ago.
That's even though some women do.
Even though they shake a lula, but they're not mechuyev to. Right. Since they're not mechuyev, even though they say a bracha, but since they're not mechuyev, right. So that's called the Alav Bak Shira. Yeah. The Magen Avraham says, based on Kabbalah sources, that the beged of the tzitzis should be under your clothing. You shouldn't wear it on top. And the chutim should be exposed. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes. The beged should be covered up, and the chutim should be exposed. It's from the Arizal. It's based on the two sources. It says, "Vayikach shem vayefes asam simla, vayichim vayosim al shchem shnehem, vayelcho acharanis veres avim lo ro." That Chum was mevaza the father Noach when he was drunk, and the two brothers covered over the father when he was undressed. So it says Vayikach Shem Vayefes. It should really say Vayikchu. So the Chazal understood Pshat, the Medrash understood Pshat. Vayikach Shem. Shem instigated the whole thing. He thought that that's not the Kavadik, so they walked backwards. Yefes, under the circumstances, realized, should I be on the side of Chum, or should I be on the side of Shem? So he said, under the circumstances, I better go along with Shem. But on his own, he wouldn't have done it. So that's why he says in the singular, Vayikach Shem Vayefes, instead of Vayikchu, that Shem was really the one who initiated it. So that's the difference between, that's how Rav Soloveitchik once delivered a Yortzeit Roshan. So this one, the Chelek HaDrush of the Drush about Tzitzis. So he said that that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why Noach says, Yafta Lukim Liyefes. This is the difference between ethics and etiquette. That Yefes is known for etiquette. Under the circumstances, this is the right way to go. Because people are watching and Shem is doing it, so I better go along with him. I better not sit on the side and look as if I'm siding with Chum. And Shem does things that are ethical. He doesn't care whether people are watching, people are not watching. If that's the right thing to do, the father is undressed and he's drunk. So ethics dictates that the children have to do something about it to protect the father from bizoyim. So the Medrash says that because it was initiated by Shem, that's why his descendants, centuries later, was Zecher. The Jewish people are descendants from Shem. There are others also descendants of Shem, but the Jewish people was Zecher to the baggage of Tzitzis. And the Jewish people was Zecher to the Chutei Tzitzis because of the fact that Avraham Avinu said, when Melech Sodom asked him, Temle HaNefesh HaChush Kachloch, so he says, he takes a Shavua, Emekach Me'asher Lecho, Mi'chut Vatzrach Na'am. He's not going to take anything. So because he refused to take chut, he was zechet, b'nei bonav was zechet to the mitzvah of chutei tzitzis. Because he says, as my text, rachnal, so rachnal is like a shoe strap. They didn't wear shoelaces, they wear shoe straps made from leather. So that's why the Jewish people was zechet to the ritzuas of tefillin. The ritzuas of tefillin are the same as the shoe straps. Like the chalitza shoe has shoe straps that are similar, exactly similar to the ritzuas of tefillin. Black on one side and white on the other side, the same. So you see from the Midrashim that we were zeichet to the beged and the schus of Shem. We were zeichet to the tzitzis and the schus of Avram. Avram said, Michut v'atzrech nal. And the beged is in the schus of Shem. Vayikach Shem v'yafes as ha-simla. They took a simla to cover the father. So that's what the Magen Avram quotes from the Arizal. Since the whole idea we were zeichet to the beged is because Shem did things even when no one's watching. He doesn't care whether people are watching. They're going to think well of him or think poorly of him. You have to do what ethics dictates, not what's under the circumstances, what's etiquette. So that's why we wear the beged under the shirt. No one should see that we're wearing the beged. The chutim and the Magen Avraham coats and the Arizal, you have to expose them. So it says Arisimo, so you should see the tzitzis. So that's his distinction between the beged and the chutim. Exactly how many knots we have. So the practice for many generations was that you have five knots and four units. And each knot, there are different opinions in Tosfos. So we, for many generations, followed that opinion in Tosfos that you make a double knot. Each knot should be a double knot, keshal gabi keshal. So that's the pashtus people today who want to use tcheles and they want to make seven chulyas. So they should, pashtus says they should have eight double knots. That uses up an awful lot of strength to make eight double knots. But that's the pashtus. Our tradition is that you always make whenever you need a knot, you make a double knot. So we should carry on our tradition.
When the Gemara says kesher rishon is darais, so which kesher is that referring to?
The kesher right next to the beged, kesher elyon. Kesher elyon means the upper kesher right next to the beged.
That becomes undone. Can you rely on the next kesher?
It's impossible. The upper kesher can't become undone unless everything else became undone. Yeah, the lower kesher is lower kesher prevents everything from happening. Some achrayim write there's an inyan of baltosif shalol lahosif alakshur, should not add on additional knots. But some have a kpeda. Some people tie knots at the bottom of the string that they shouldn't unravel. So the shari tshuva quotes some achrayim who are makbed on that. It's a shtikal baltosif shalol lahosif alakshur. And others say, what are you talking about? What has it got to do with baltosif? Baltosif would be if you. You're making knots unnecessary. A knot around all the strings together. A knot on the bottom of the string. Why should that be Baltesa? Okay, Bli Neder on Sunday, I think we're going to learn at 11:30, and we'll continue in Chulin. The next Gemara we will be Chazorah, because we really discussed much of it already. Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, and Lamed Beis. Okay, so we'll do a little Chazorah. Davening Mincha, that's it, so we'll run for Mincha.
Shabbos.
A good Shabbos. A good Shabbos.